trust in the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do, to break down walls, to save people from sin, to turn hearts of stone into good soil for the seed of the message of the gospel. The good news about Jesus, that's the gospel. That good news story about Jesus is the very thing that changes lives, and we are carriers of that good news. God wants to bless other people through us. Will you watch this short video with me?
I'll be inside in a minute. I'm going to say hey to Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike.
Flower beds are looking good, neighbor.
Yep. You guys just get back from church?
Ah, yeah, just been at the church house.
I wonder why he never invites me to church. I mean, I'd go if he asked me to go. But this is the way it is. I'm out in my front yard when he comes home from church. It's always so awkward.
It's so awkward. And I'm so hungry. Ugh. I think my wife made goulash. I love goulash. Oh, maybe Joe would like some goulash for lunch. Hey, Joe.
Here comes the invitation to church.
Yeah?
You want to come over for
goulash? Sure, I'd love to go to church with you.
What'd you just say? What'd you say?
You said something about God.
Goulash.
You're having goulash at your church?
No, at my house.
You're inviting me over for goulash?
Yeah.
Goulash? Yeah, who doesn't like goulash? I'd like some goulash. Yeah, sign me up. Goulash!
I'll check and make sure we have enough.
I see you walking away.
Now, you know I like to have fun when I preach, so I decided to bring you a funny look at inviting a neighbor to church. I think many of us really want to reach out to people, reach out to our neighbors, but we're afraid. We don't know quite how to do it. We might be worried about rejection or saying something that sounds stupid, or we just don't know where to start. So this morning I thought, let's start with a model of that in Scripture, what it looks like to bless our neighbors. Let's start with looking at when one of the apostles reached out to someone who we could call a neighbor. So let's turn to Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. If you have your Bibles, that's where we're going to be this morning. You also see it on the screen behind me, and I'll read along from 26 to 39. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, who was an apostle, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. So on the surface, we have this story that we church people might be familiar with the word evangelism. Maybe that's how we would describe this story. Evangelism, witnessing, sharing your faith. There are lots of other ways to bless people, and we're going to talk about some of those as well later. But here is a clear scriptural example of a follower of Jesus who chose to bless someone from outside his circle of connection. Philip and the eunuch, they were from two different countries. They didn't know each other. They'd never met before. They had different beliefs, different values. But we might call this man a neighbor because Jesus was asked, who is my neighbor? And really, it's anyone who needs us is our neighbor. So I want to throw that in there. So you, even though this man was from a different country, we might call him Philip's neighbor. And Philip chose to bless him. When Philip talked about Jesus, this man responded by embracing a brand new faith of his own. And the book of Acts is full of encounters like this with the apostles of Jesus Christ and the people that they met. The apostles were men who were tasked with the same thing that we are tasked with. You and I are tasked with the same thing today, and that's carrying the good news about Jesus Christ and sharing it with people. They shared about Jesus in a lot of different ways. They, of course, they used words like Philip did here, but they also prayed for people. They healed the sick. They served people in need, and they established churches. Here in Acts chapter 8, what I want to do is we'll break down the steps of what happened, and then we're going to talk about how we might bless people here in 2020 when things are a little bit different. But let's start by looking at the action steps in this story. The first step is that the Spirit directed Philip. That's the very first thing we read here. The Spirit directed Philip, and Philip said yes. See, Philip had to be praying, listening, and paying attention to what God wanted him to be doing. And when the Spirit directed him, his answer was, yes, God, I want to follow where you lead me. He was willing to do whatever he needed to do. Then he went to meet this eunuch who was ready to receive him. Philip went to the eunuch. The eunuch received him. And the eunuch probably didn't even realize it, but he was actually there to meet Philip. God is the one who brought this together. It was a God-ordained moment and a God-ordained meeting. So the eunuch questioned Philip after he received him, and Philip shared the gospel with him. Philip answered his questions and continued talking with him, sharing the good news of the story of Jesus. And the eunuch responded by embracing faith in Jesus and wanting to be baptized immediately. So the eunuch embraced Jesus. Philip asked him to confess his belief in Jesus, and when he did, Philip gladly baptized him. And it says that what happened next is that Philip was actually taken away by the Spirit of God. And what did the eunuch do? He went on his way rejoicing. That's just a quick snapshot of the steps of this passage, just so it's easier to break it down and see what took place. Philip and the other apostles here in Acts, they were on a mission. And this is just an example of Philip living out his mission. And as a church, we need to be knowing and doing and living our mission. We need to know our mission. It needs to be our DNA. Our mission needs to be defining who we are, undeniable in all of the things that we do. Our mission needs to be the reason that we do the things that we do. These apostles in Acts were carrying out their mission to spread the word about Jesus the Messiah and to call people to follow him. Now, without having experienced a relationship with Jesus on a personal level, there's no reason why they would have done the things they did. There's no reason why we should do anything to follow Jesus or serve the church or serve people apart from the fact that Jesus is directing us to do that through our own personal relationship with him. If you spend any time with me, hopefully you'll hear me talk about the why we do ministry, especially if we make a decision to do something different or to try something new. Hopefully you'll hear me talk about the why. I would rather people see the why we do than the what we do. You know, the what we do, the mechanical parts, the way that we communicate, the methods that we choose, those things can change, and they do change on a regular basis, but the why never changes. Jesus is our why. And when I say why and I say what, they're big capital letters in my brain. The why is big capital letters. Jesus is our why. That's the reason that we do what we do. What we do might change, but the why we do it never changes. Look at Philip. He was on a mission from God. He was ready to do whatever God asked him to do. And the reason I know that is because Scripture tells us. It says, the Spirit directed Philip. Philip was ready to follow God's leading even if it took boldness, even if it meant interacting with someone who was different with him, even if it wasn't in line with Philip's own plan for his day, for his time. Philip was ready to serve the Lord with what Lord, the Lord prompted him to do. Are we willing to be bold in that way when God prompts us? Are we willing to talk to people, serve people that might not share our church background, our economic status, our skin color, our beliefs, our values? Are we ready to reach out to people who are different from us? Are we willing to be inconvenienced of our time and our plans for the sake of blessing people in the name of Jesus Christ? These are all things that Philip was willing and ready to do. And when the Spirit directed him, he said yes. And the end result of that was that this man went away rejoicing, full of the presence of God and as part of the family of God. That, my friends, is a story of a blessed neighbor and how a neighbor can be blessed through us. Now, this particular scene between Philip and the eunuch, it uses words that we don't know. It has positions in government that we're not familiar with. It's not immediately relatable to something that might happen to you or me today. But even if this scene doesn't play out exactly the same way in 2020, there's one thing that I do know, and that's that God is always moving us toward people who need to know the reality of his love. That's a big, long blank in your notes this morning, because I want you to know and remember that phrase. God is always moving us toward people who need to know the reality of his love. That's how God operates. He advances his kingdom through you and me. You know, many of us who have grown up in church can recite the Great Commission from memory. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the things I commanded you." That's a very familiar passage when we hear that. But listen, I don't want to confuse anyone, because sharing your faith, evangelism, that's not the only way that we bless people. I don't want us to settle for a one-dimensional understanding of what it means to bless our neighbors. But we have to look at Scripture, and we have to know that Philip is a great example here of blessing our neighbors, because he brought Jesus to this man. And just like Philip, God is directing us, his people, toward divine encounters with other people who need to know that he's real and they need to experience his love, and we're the ones to give it. Last year, in our circle, we live on a cul-de-sac, so there's about 5 or 6 houses around a circle. And last year, there's a large family that moved in across the street from us, and they're a family of refugees from the Congo, we noticed when they moved in, we saw all these folks in African dress, and Callie and I, my oldest daughter, we went across the street to say hello, because I immediately wanted to know who they were. And so we went over there, and we learned that these folks had only been in the United States for just a matter of hours, and they spoke very little English. And there was a white couple there with them who were from a Presbyterian church in Lancaster, and they were helping them get placed and settled, and this was the house that they'd chosen, that Church World Service had provided for them. So we said hello, we tried to be friendly, we learned their names, we tried to let them know they had a friend in the neighborhood, but we were limited in our ability to communicate with them. Fast forward several months, and we're still limited in our ability to communicate. They've learned some more words. We might have an exchange here or there, but they're very short conversations. I can't have a long, in-depth conversation because I don't know Swahili, they don't know English. Now, just a matter of weeks ago, one night as I was lying in bed trying to go to sleep, it was about 11:30 in the evening, and I'm trying to sleep, my doorbell starts ringing furiously. And I hopped out of bed, and I threw some pants on, and I ran to the door, and I found two of the teenagers from this family out front, and they were yelling, "Fire, fire," and pointing at their house. And so I took off running out the front door. I'm in t-shirt, jeans, bare feet, it's cold outside, but I'm running across the cul-de-sac. Is there something I can do to help? So I went over, and I found there wasn't any flames that I could see, no smoke that I could see. Stuck my head into the kitchen, and I found that they had a flame up on their stove. I think underneath the burners, they hadn't necessarily kept those clean, and so some debris had caught fire. They were very worried, and so I tried to explain the best as I could that everything's okay now, it's not on fire now, you can come back inside, and I tried to explain how you might need to clean out this section of your stove. It was very hard to do because I could only communicate so much. So the next day, I gave a call to the couple that had been there with them when they moved in, and I said, "Could you find someone who speaks their language who could come in and explain to them you have to take care of your stove, you have to clean it out so that it doesn't cause a fire in your kitchen?" So we took care of that. And then one day a few years ago, I had this experience where I was driving home from work, and I saw a man sitting on the side of the road in the grass, and He was trying to keep warm. He looked really rough, but he was trying to keep warm, and he didn't have a shirt on. He just had pants and shoes, and I immediately had this sense of, I need to pull over and help this man somehow. So pulled over, invited him into the car, drove him down the street to the sheet station where he could get something warm to drink, and I just had a sense that I was supposed to help him. So I gave him a jacket that I had there in the car. I said, keep this jacket. I also had a Bible with me, a small one, that I said, go ahead and take this too. I want you to have this. This is so important. I don't remember much of the conversation, but I do remember that this jacket and this Bible that I seem to especially have liked were things that God said, I want you to give an offer to this person. I want them to go to him. So I gave them to him. I have no idea what happened to this man. Never saw him again, as far as I know. I don't know if he ever chose to follow God. I don't know anything about him. I just know that in that moment, I tried to do what I felt the Spirit directing me to do. So I look at both of these times, and there are times in my life when I felt like God put me in a spot where he could say, show my love to this person. Do this thing. It wasn't preaching a sermon. It wasn't anything that I think is even a drastic move. It was just something I felt him prompting me to do, and I did it. But I want you to know, I don't tell this story because I see myself as the hero of the story. I don't. I think God is the hero. The Holy Spirit is the hero of these stories because he's the one that can add these things up in people's lives and make a huge difference. And if I get to be a little part of that, that's just a huge privilege for me. I might be able to do something good, but God is the source of everything that's good, and I want to point people towards him because I believe that God is always moving us toward people who need to know the reality of his love. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we want to engage in the mission that God has given us. Okay, so how do we do that? How can we bless our neighbors? Let's put some application to this for us as a church in 2020. How do we bless our neighbor? We do it in two different ways. First of all, we do it individually, because each one of us here is an individual. We have the ability to bless other people. You are the church. I am the church, individually. Mount Joy Mennonite Church is a local outpost of the worldwide church. That makes us each an agent of God's work who uses our individual gifts to accomplish the work of the Spirit in our daily lives. That includes every encounter that we have with people. Just like Philip when he encountered the Ethiopian man. I was speaking with someone this week, and it's amazing to me, her name keeps coming up. Mary Swigert just recently passed away, and I was speaking with someone this week, and he talked to me about Mary, and he said, you know, when we first came to this church, we were immediately invited over to Mary's house, and we were made to feel welcome, and we were made to feel like a part of the group, and then we got involved in the church through that connection. You know, I only got to spend this much time with Mary, just such a small amount of time, but she became one of my favorite people immediately because she had this way of drawing you in and making you feel like you mattered. That's an amazing gift. She had this amazing gift of hospitality and making you feel like we all belong together, because you know what? We do. We belong to each other. We belong with each other. We bless each other through our individual gifts. Mary was very good at that. And so I want us all to be good at that. Let's follow her example in that. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with your spiritual gifts, and I don't have time to get into a huge discussion about spiritual gifts today, but I want to encourage you, if you aren't familiar with your spiritual gifts, take the time to reach out to one of us pastors. Maybe we can help you in that. Maybe we can help you discover, what are my gifts? Because the Holy Spirit has gifted each one of us in different ways. What are my gifts, and how does God want to use them in my life to bless other people? Some of you have also shared stories with me or with us through our Facebook living room group about God showing up in unexpected ways in your life and helping you in your interactions with strangers or neighbors. When I read stories like that, it's a reminder that God is always at work. God is at work when you go out for a lunch at a restaurant. God is at work when you buy your groceries. He's at work when you're in line behind a stop sign on the road, you know? And if you look back on your life for a week or two and you think, gee, I don't know exactly where I would bless people, bless my neighbor. I don't know where God might be leading me to do that. Well, then I'd encourage you to just start asking the question, how do I reflect Jesus in the situations that I'm in? You know, that old phrase, what would Jesus do is a little bit overused and maybe a little bit tired, and we don't necessarily resonate with it as much as we once did. But I would encourage you to turn that phrase on its side and to apply it to the situation you're in. Jesus, how do you want me to tip this server? Jesus, how can I reflect your patience in this traffic line? I know that one might hit a little close to home for some people. It can for me. You and I can individually bless someone in 1,000 different ways. All of those ways add up to what God wants to do in that person's life. It might not be up to you to take a person from letter A to letter Z in their faith journey. You may never see the fruit of the seed you plant, but God is always moving us toward people that need to know the reality of his love. So anything we can do to hand somebody a dose of the love of Jesus Christ is doing good in their life. It's blessing our neighbor. We have the power to individually bless our neighbors. That's number one. Secondly, we can do it together. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church. And I want you to know, by the way, whenever I use the word church, I don't want you to hear me saying anything about a building, because I'm not talking about a building. The church is people. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church. And if we're part of the worldwide church, then that means together we share a mission. Our mission is to carry the message of Jesus to the people around us. We don't meet in a church. We are being the church. That's who we're called to be. Now, hopefully, all of our efforts and all of our programs that happen here in the building will help people to connect with God, but that's done through relationships, and so we're called to build relationships. Now, let me ask, when was the last time you invited someone to your small group? When was the last time you invited someone to a Bible study with you? To one of the things going on, one of the classes going on in the evening, or to the church service itself? I know there are people out here who are really good at that. I know there are people out here who have never done that. So I ask that question to challenge each of us to evaluate ourselves, because these invitations are invitations for people to get connected to God and to connect to us as well, a community of faith through spiritual relationships. Our community of faith, what we do here, is so important on the journey of faith that everyone is on. It helps us to grow wider and deeper in our understanding of God. It helps us to support each other, to encourage each other, to challenge each other. It helps us to help each other grow. As a side note, there are many people here who have close family and close friends, and I say they because this isn't me. I'm new. So there are many people here who have close family and close friends, and they've gone to church together all their lives, and they're close, and that's a great thing, and I love that. And there's only so many close relationships that you can maintain in your life. You only have so much capacity, and I recognize that. I get that too. But I also believe that there are many of us here who have the capacity that is yet untapped to connect with people in a newer or deeper way. People who need that relationship with a community of faith. So that potential exists. But I want you to know, God is only going to send us as many people here as we are willing to make room for, and as we are willing to care for, and as we're able to care for. I bet there are a lot of people here this morning who've invited someone to church recently, but I'd also ask, how many of those people were already church people? You know, there's a lot of musical chairs that goes on in Lancaster County between churches. This building that we're in, this is a hospital. And Jesus said he came for the sick, because it's the sick who need a doctor, not the healthy, right? Please don't misunderstand me. Anyone is welcome here, whether they've been in church their whole life or never. But there are people all around us who need Jesus, and they need us. And what I'm asking is that we see people through the loving, compassionate eyes of Jesus, who did everything, including dying on a cross, to reach us with his saving grace. One of my favorite pastors has a motto for his church. We will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. We will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. Now, if we are going to be serious about this kind of blessing our neighbor, if we're going to take our mission seriously, if we really do love and care for people here at this hospital building and out there, that means that we do things to reach out to people who didn't grow up in church, Mennonite or otherwise. One of the main why reasons, big capital letters why, one of the main reasons behind the things we do is going to be to reach new people. Because the church is an organization who at least partially exists for people who aren't here yet. Can I get an amen? Anybody on board with this? Okay, just checking. Because I'm going from here, okay? We're not done yet. All right, so when you one day look around and you don't know everybody and things aren't the same as when you grew up, I don't want you to get scared by that. I want you to say praise the Lord because God is doing a new thing. Like he says in Isaiah 43, when you don't know everyone anymore, I want you to say praise the Lord because God is drawing people to himself. How exciting is that? My friends, Paul preached in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that we are to multiply our ministry. We're to invest in others who invest in others who invest in others. It's not about building a bigger church. It's about equipping everyone to do the work of ministry and see lives change. What would Mount Joy and Elizabethtown and Marietta look like if we, as a spiritually charged church of people, went out from here to pray for people, to see the sick healed, to see addictions broken, to help the hurting, to find the lost, to serve the poor and those in need in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, friends, the enemy does not want us to do that. He doesn't. But God is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. And he wants to do it through us. Do you know that's true? Church, we have to own our mission to enjoy God, to love each other, to bless our neighbors, because that is what brings the power of God into the world around us. God is always moving us toward people who need to know the reality of his love. So what happens? What happens when we bless our neighbors? Well, there's three things that happen. If we draw on this scripture about Philip, the first thing that happens is that they receive us. When we bless our neighbors, they receive us. Just like the eunuch received Philip, God prepares the way for us to connect with people. I read through the Great Commission earlier in Matthew 28, and the last part of that verse, verse 20, says, I will be with you always. That's an encouragement to know that they will receive us because God goes with us. He directs us to who we should talk to. Secondly, after they receive us, they listen to us. Just like the eunuch listened to Philip share the good news about Jesus, God will speak through our words and through our actions. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 20, Jesus said, it's not you who's going to be speaking, it's the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. You don't need to be afraid about what you're going to say. You don't need to be worried about rejection or saying something stupid because God is the one who wants to use you. Speak his words, speak his love. They receive us, they listen to us, and finally, they join us. They join us in drawing closer to God. Philip asked the eunuch, if you believe in your heart, you may be baptized. And the eunuch confessed his faith in Jesus. He joined the family of faith, and then Philip baptized him. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. That's what we want to do. We want to lift Jesus up, not ourselves. We aren't asking people to join us because we're something special. We're asking people to join us in following Jesus because he's everything that we need. Amen? Our passion for the things of God is going to be infectious in people's lives. When you're passionate, people want to know why. They want the energy that you have. They want the enjoyment that you have. You know, and we need to have our passions in the right things, too. We need to make sure we're putting our passion in the right place, that That it's okay to be excited about the ministry or the task that you're involved in, but it's not the end-all be-all. You know, if I would get excited about the music that we play, because I enjoy leading worship, if I would get excited about the music that we play and I would want other people to join with me in playing music, that's not the same as getting excited about worshiping God. I need to call people to worship God first and then say if they have musical talent that they want to bring to the team of musicians, that comes out of a heart of worship for God, not the other way around. Because if we focus on the music, then Jesus goes to the number two spot. And if Jesus doesn't have the number one spot, then he's not there at all. What you win someone with is what you win them to. We must authentically love and chase after the Spirit of God in our lives. We can't ask anyone to be excited about the what we're doing if we aren't focused on the why we're doing it. None of us can tell someone to follow Jesus with all our heart if we aren't willing to do it ourselves. So, there could be someone out there listening to this and thinking, that sounds good, but it's really hard to do. And I agree. It is hard to do, especially it would be incredibly hard for us as a church to do any of this, to bless our neighbors, if we relied on our own ability to do it. It's not about us. It's about him. The Spirit directed Philip. The Spirit wants to direct you. Jesus said, it's not your words. It's the words of the Father. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking in you and through you. We get here. We do these things. We experience these things through faith, knowing that God is with us, knowing that he wants to accomplish these good things through us, both individually, one-on-one, and together, the big church. We know that because he's asked us to do these things, he's actually willing to be right there with us in every situation and give us exactly what we need to act. So be encouraged. If you think it's hard, there's nothing that's impossible for God. Remember, God is always moving us toward people who need to know the reality of his love. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read the second part of verse 22 and verse 23. Paul wrote this, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. God wants us to make every effort to reach people. And that's why I said earlier that I want us to be an outward-facing church. You know, it's easy when you love someone. It's easy to circle around them, to stay huddled together, to enjoy the things that we do together. Everything that we do as a church is great. I love the relationships that I have already, and I see relationships here that I couldn't imagine having that kind of a great relationship. I think God is working among us, and that will always be true. But if we turn to include others in that, we're only doing this blessing our neighbor work that we're talking about when we do that. We turn outward from here and we say, this thing that we have, this beautiful thing that we have as a body of Christ, as a group of believers who is family to one another, we want you out there, we want you, our neighbor, to be part of that. We want you to receive what God has for you. We want you to come in. I want us to be passionate about Jesus. I want us to be willing to do anything short of sin to reach people who need him. Yes, it means talking about Jesus more, but it's more than that. It means living out a Jesus-centered life. Blessing our neighbors is a whole life activity because it just flows out of the love that God has already given us that he wants us to share with other people. We don't want to reduce it to just one thing that we do because it's almost everything that we do that reflects that. Look here at the beginning of Acts chapter 8. This is our final scripture for the morning. I wanted to go back to Philip for a moment. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8 says, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Do you see what happens when we follow the Spirit and when we do what he wants us to do, when we say what he's saying through us, when we share his love with people, miracles happen in people's lives. And that's what I know we have the potential for as a church. I've seen, there are people in this room here who have transformed lives who can share that story and say that I came to faith here, or I met someone here and they drew me in, and the Bible study that I attend got me through a hard time in my life, or I experienced heartbreak or loss or so many things that God has brought me through because of what he's done here at this church in this group of people. And I know there's so much potential for so much more of that as we follow God in the things that he wants us to do. It was everything Philip and the other apostles did that made it possible for people to receive the message about Jesus. And great joy was the result of that. And I want us to spread great joy in our community. I'm talking to every single one of us here, including myself. Can we be intentional about our words and our actions, all of them, so that people can receive the good news of Jesus Christ from us? Can we be intentional about that? That's how lives are changed. There are people right now in Mount Joy, in E-Town, Marietta, and all our surrounding communities whose lives will be transformed with freedom and joy from the Lord when you and I and we bless our neighbors. But we need to make this who we are. So I want to do one more thing before we go, and I want to look again at our mission statement as a church. Enjoying God, loving each other, blessing our neighbors. Here are your action steps for this morning. If you're all in on this mission that we share as a church, then there's three things that I want you to do, that I want you to hear. Firstly, own this mission. Own it. What does that mean? Well, make it the way you think. Make it part of your identity. Yeah, I go to Mount Joy Mennonite Church, but I am the church. I do these things because this is who I am, right? Own it. Secondly, speak it. Encourage one another on the mission. Hey, what's going on in your life this week? I mean, oh, you connected with this person? What did that look like? You know, you had an opportunity to share God with somebody. You had an opportunity to help somebody on the side of the road. Encourage one another in that. Lift each other up in prayer. And when you're out there interacting with people you don't know, who you don't know if they know the Lord or not, let the Holy Spirit speak through you and in you, and let him make his way into people's hearts. Own it, speak it, and thirdly, live it. Let these statements, enjoying God, loving each other, and blessing your neighbors, let those things be what shapes your interactions with people and your involvement in the ministries of the church here locally. Because each one of us has gifts to use. Each one of us has a part to play. You know, it's not an accident that you're here right now, that you belong to Mount Joy Mennonite Church right now at this time, at this day, in this month, in this year, because God has a plan. God wants to accomplish things. He wants to do something, and you're a part of that. God wants to speak in you and through you and use your gifts to bless people. We are called to this. God is always moving us toward people who need to know the reality of his love. So let's do it together. And we will see the great blessings that will come from God's work among us. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh my goodness, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in the life of this church, for all that you have done leading us to where we are right now. And Father, we thank you for the present. We thank you for the people that surround us. We thank you, Lord, because each person here is so valuable. Lord, you've gifted us. You've called us by name. We are your children, and you have a purpose for our lives. You have a purpose for us to be involved in what you're doing in this community. The call to love and bless our neighbors, it's so vitally important to our future and to what you long to accomplish in the lives of people. So help us, Lord. Help us to see new energy and passion in the words of your scriptures and the mission statement that we share. Send your Spirit, Lord, to fall on us in a fresh new way as we go about our lives this week. Father, don't let us be indifferent. Don't let us be complacent. Don't let us settle for comfort, because you're calling us to be bold. Father, give us words to say when we leave here today and every day. Let people hear those words and respond to you. Father, give us courage to act in love. Let people see it and receive it and embrace who you are. Father, bring people to join us on this journey that we're on. Father, we long to see lives transformed for the sake of the gospel. Jesus, you are everything we need. We give our love to you. We give our commitment to you. We ask you to guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.